Good morning. Good morning. It's time to begin our worship service. And as we begin, I'd like to welcome everybody, especially our visitors. We're thankful you're here. Glad you've come our way. If you have an opportunity to have a visitor's card presented to you, please take a moment and fill that out and drop it in the collection plate. And if you hadn't received one yet, there might be one in the pew in front of you. We'd love to have a record of your being with us, and we would certainly invite you back at every opportunity that you can be with us. Our times of service, we'll meet again this evening for our Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and then we come together on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock in the middle of the week for a period of Bible study and classes. We're thankful you're here. Our purpose as Christians in this location is to simply worship God according to His truth and His word. And we aim to do simply that, no more and no less. If you haven't had a chance to pick up a bulletin, please do. There's a lot of good information in there, especially of our members that are in need of our prayers and other things that we can do to help them. Be mindful of that list and be praying for those, and there'll be others as well. Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. And starting in verse 34, Acts chapter 10, verse 34. And opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee, after the baptism which John proclaimed. And you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God appointed him with the Holy Spirit with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things that he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And they also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. And God raised him up on the third day and granted that he should become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead, of whom all the prophets bear witness, and through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin. Bow with me, please. Our merciful Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for Jesus, who came to this world, showed us the way back to you, and gave of himself for our sin. We're thankful, Father, for your love that was proclaimed on the cross of Calvary. And we're thankful, Father, that your Son, our King, our Savior, is home with you, reigning from heaven. And we thank you for that great gift. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You're able to stand as we sing Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, as we start off with. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. Isaiah 40, 21. Hallelujah,
praise Jehovah from the heavens.
Our next song will be Sing Hallelujah to the Lord. Bassist will start with the lead here.
Sing Hallelujah to the Lord.
Our song before our prayer is going to be In Christ Alone as we get prepared for the Lord's Supper.
What?
Pray with me, please. Our Almighty Father in heaven, Lord, we pray that you move in our hearts today. Father, we're thankful for your word. We want to be a people that are about doing what it says, Father, but becoming who you want us to be. Father, write it on our hearts. Inscribe it in our minds so that we become that fount of life. Father, we're so thankful for Jesus. Father, for his example. And Father, for his sacrifice, that we could be called children through his blood. Father, help us not to take this for granted. Help us to be people that are Christ-like. We pray for your blessings on this congregation, Father. We pray for a good heart. We pray for strong spirit, Father, your spirit. We pray for hands that are quick to the task, Father. We seek your blessings in our lives, Father, and we acknowledge that all good things come from you. Father, you give us the talents we have. You give us abilities. You provide so richly for us, and we're thankful for that. We pray for this nation, Father. We pray that it would be a nation that worships you. Father, we pray that you be with us in this service, that the fruit of our lips, the things that we offer, the praise would be something that would be sweet to you, Father, that would bring glory and honor to your name. Father, be with us and keep us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our song before the Lord's Supper is "Low in the Grave He Lay." We come to celebrate Christ, and we do that as a memorial every week. Acts 20, verse 7 tells us frequency, but we remember him and for what he's done. And on this song, we'll start off slowly, and then we will go faster as we get to the chorus where he says he rose. So,
Jesus, my
If I were to take a piece of scripture from the Bible that really means something to me and gives me confidence and hope, then I really need to look no further than 1 Timothy 1:15. And it reads, "It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all." Paul makes a profound claim here. Christ came to save all sinners. We are assured that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, as Romans 5:23 states. And as a result, the spiritual death has spread to all men because all have sinned, as Romans 5:12 tells us. So since we are being unable to save ourselves from our spiritual death, we need a Savior. And this is the divine purpose, is why Christ came to earth. Matthew 1:21. "And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save people from their sins." In 18 and verse 11. "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." And 20, verse 28. "And just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So as we partake of this communion this morning, this bread and this fruit of the vine, remember, Christ came as a ransom for many. Christ came to save the sinners. Christ came because we are the foremost of all sinners, or as some versions say, the chief of all sinners. So Christ came to die for me, and Christ came to die for you. In John 4:16, Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Let us give thanks for his coming and his sacrifice and our salvation. Father God, humbly we come to you, Father, as brothers and sisters united under the resurrection and death of your Son Christ, who came for us, the chief of all sinners. And Father, as he partook of the last meal and the last feast, he said, "Gather together, break this body, drink of this cup, and do this in remembrance of me." And today, Father, like every other first day of the week, we gather to do that. As we partake of this bread, Father, let us remember that sacrifice, that death on the cross for us, the chief of all sinners. And Father, for this bread, we give thanks. For your Son and his sacrifice, we give thanks. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
with me.
Our great God and Heavenly Father, we come to you again as we memorialize your Son and his sacrifice. We're mindful this morning, Heavenly Father, that because of our sin, a death was required. And we remember at this time Christ's life blood that he shed on the cross for us. We pray, Father, that you would bless this cup as we partake, and that we would remember the blood that was shed for us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
And that concludes our weekly first day of the week memorial is directed by Christ and remembrance of him. And we'll use this time now quickly to take a donation from the members of the congregation. If you are a visitor here, we are not seeking any funds from you. Just ask if you would and receive the visitor card if you just put it in the plate as the plate passes by. And we'll ask Ryan if he would lead our minds in prayer.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father God, thank for this day that you bless us with, Lord. Let us always remember the sacrifice that was made. Now let us give with open hearts and open minds so that way we may further your word and your kingdom, Lord. Thank God for everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our song before the lesson will be Lily of the Valley. If you are able to, please rise and remain standing as the scriptures are read after this.
I have found the friend in Jesus, who's everything to me. He's a very something thousand to my soul.
I'll be reading from Acts 2, 14 through 21. It'll be Acts 2, 14 through 21. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Thank you.
Good morning. It's good to see each one here this morning worshiping with us. And if you're here for the first time, we want you to know that you're our special and honored guest, and we hope that what we do will be what God would want us to do, because we're just simply trying to do what we understand God's Word to teach. It's a wonderful day. For the last 2 days, Thursday afternoon, later than we intended, Hunter and Whitney and Wiki and I got to take off and get in late in Cullman, Alabama. Got there by midnight, see my sister, down to Birmingham the next morning to see Steve Dewhurst and David Dewhurst and their family, down on to Auburn to see my niece, and then, believe it or not, I was in a Starbucks last night in Auburn. And here we are, and then Hunter slept 2 or 3 hours and was on his way back to Charlottesville, had to go, and the Dewhurst, David and Tess, took off to D.C. And I called this morning as I'm coming here, and I asked Hunter. I say, Hunter, and I didn't, and all of a sudden, I thought, wondering how he was doing with the little sleep he had, and he said, Dad, indeed he is risen. And I thought, that's a wonderful day. When someone goes and as you ride and you see the sun rise, there were many services today throughout the country and the world. When people would see the sun arise and think about the risen Savior. We need to think about that every day. And we need to think about what he's done for us every day and every week. But as we think about that happening, we think about Jesus coming forth at sunrise, that his coming forth brought light into this world. And this light, this world was a dark, dark place. And even as you read in this passage that was just read for us about the people being in darkness, but after this great darkness and the foreboding days of darkness, and that word foreboding, I looked it up for myself, fearful apprehension, a feeling that something bad is going to happen. And many of the prophets wrote about those dark and foreboding days. And it's used over and over again in the scriptures. And it talks about the sun being turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. And that's what Joel 2:31 says. And this passage in Acts, the second chapter, is a direct quote from that. But this is that which was spoken through the prophet Joel. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord shall come. You know, we know that on the day that Jesus died, the sun, it was darkened for 3 hours. But throughout history, we know that there's a solar eclipse and we know that there's lunar eclipse. And that became something very ominous to people. I'm sure before they found out it could blind you, there were a lot of people that went blind looking at those solar eclipses. And have you been hearing about the blood moon lately? Well, ever so often that moon is darkened in that eclipse in such a way that it's red in the blood, but there's something foreboding that's happening. And many times that meant a government was going to fall. It meant there was going to be an upheaval in the spiritual realm. And that's what those prophetic words are talking about. But this time in Joel 2, it means that the Son of God is coming. In a very darkened and foreboding world that is lost in sin and darkness, that there would be a light that would come into the world. And maybe that's the reason that it was about, I know it was about overcoming death, but at sunrise, sun was coming to this dark world. The people, it says in Matthew 4 and verse 16, who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land of the shadow of death, unto them a light dawned. And that light is the Christ. That light is the Son of God. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You couldn't overshadow what Jesus was going to do. He was going to bring light to this world. Light, Jesus has come to lighten our lives. And then again in John, the 8th chapter and verse 12, Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And light and darkness is used all through the scriptures. And nothing more powerful than Christ coming to a dark world and bringing light, as was said at the Lord's table, that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. I have come as light into the world, and everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Isn't it wonderful that we have the blessing that we do not have to remain in darkness? Well, that's an old sermon. I've got charts. I haven't. That's what we were talking about the last time, last week. We were talking about what Christ had done for us. And then what people, when that happened, when this light that had been prophesied of for years, for centuries, for the whole time man was upon the earth nearly, beginning at Genesis 3 and verse 15. When this light came, what a marvelous light it was. It was the Christ, the Son of God, the fulfillment of all prophecies and the fulfillment of the purpose of God to redeem his people. What does it say about in the Bible about that light? Would it blind us? No. It would enlighten us. And what would those people do? We were talking about that last week. We would go tell everybody about the light. What would you do if the whole world was in darkness and all of a sudden you found light? Nobody else had light. What if even in this city, the city was darkened and you alone had light? What would you do with that light? Would you share it? Would you want other people to see light who were in darkness? Certainly you would. That's what the scripture is telling us as people of God. If we've received light, it can't remain within us. If it remains within us, we haven't fully comprehended the light. If the light comes in us and stays, it stays darkness around us until it shines out of us. And we then, as people of God's instruments, become lights in this world. And we begin singing that to our little children, this little light of mine. It won't be put out. Satan can't put it out. It won't be put under a bushel. We'll lighten the world. And that's the purpose of Christians. And we ended last week with the Great Commission about, he spoke again with all authority, saying that all authority had been given unto him in heaven and earth. And he told them to go, therefore, and make disciples. Spread this light. That's what he's telling them. Spread Christ in the world. Just shine. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. In every place the disciples went, they just kept spreading that light of the word. That, you know what the light was? It was a message that told about the light. That's what it was. It was a message of light. That's what the gospel is. And they went everywhere and spread that message of light. And people believed in the resurrected Savior. And many became Christians. And we talked about how, when people had received, who was in more darkness, who was in the most darkness as far as the Jewish people could believe in the day? And the light came to Jews. The light came to Peter and came to the apostles, and it was shared with the Jews. The greatest darkness in the world was the Gentiles, and it was hard to convince the apostles to go to the Gentiles. But guess what happened when the gospel went to the Gentiles who were hated by the Jews? The first thing the Gentiles did, it was just start being a beacon to every other Gentile. Isn't that what happened in the church at Antioch of Syria? church was set up there, and they get Barnabas and they get Saul, and they send out Barnabas and Saul. Go out there to other Gentiles and tell them about the Christ, the risen Savior, the light that's come into this world. And I thought about that church in Philippi. This was on the chart, but we didn't talk about it last time. That you remember when Paul received the Macedonian call and he went over there, you remember where he ended up? He ended up by a river. And we've used that, so I'm talking about that, Scott's dad over in a river in Africa in some classes here who went down and just talked to some people and they became Christians and they grew mightily from that. But here was Lydia and her household down there at the river. And great persecution came upon Paul immediately. And here's the lady and her household and a few Christians. And Paul gets thrown in jail. And you know, the Lord delivers him. Conversion of the Philippian jailer. And Paul is run down to Thessalonica. What does the church at Philippi immediately in their poverty? I say that because 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 1 talks about says that the churches of Macedonia in their depth of poverty wanted to share with the Christians who were in Jerusalem. It wasn't that these were rich people, but what did they want to immediately do? Wanted to help Paul in Thessalonica. Started sending immediately to Paul. That almost seems counterintuitive and productive. How established were they? What had they gathered together in such a short time? I don't know. But it was sharing the light. And the light of the gospel isn't just for Concord. It's not just for North Carolina. It's not just for America. It's for the world. And as we have the ability and the opportunity, we have the responsibility. And we need to be like those brethren who were scattered from Jerusalem. And those brethren who were at Philippi. Now you yourselves know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me. No, didn't get it from Antioch of Syria. This is a brand new church. Shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once to my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I want you to notice who profits when you share in the sharing of the gospel to the world. Who profited here? The church at Philippi. That this profit might go into your account. That's an accounting term. That this will go on your ledger. You're carrying this light, and because of great light. And that's just who we are. You know the passage in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9? That's just who you are. Somebody say, well, what are you? Get to talking about yourself, and you say, well, that's just who I am. You ever said that before? That's just who I am. That's just the person I am. Well, this is just who a Christian is. We teach it to our children. We're the light of the world. We say, shine it. How far do we get to shine in that little light? What, children, how far do we get? What are we saying when we do this? All around the whole wide world, I'm going to shine my light. All around the, you do better with Paul doing it, I'm telling you. I'm going to send an email to Paul Sheehan. Because you can't forget that. We teach you that this tall. Now when I get this tall, see, I always like to be a little taller now. When I get this tall, and I'm on my tippy toes too. When I get this tall, I can't forget the message that I learned from my mother and from the children in my Bible class that taught me lessons that are so profound that often we can forget it when we grow older. You're a chosen generation, a race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. So that you may proclaim his excellence, the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. And that's the light that we are talking about here today. We talked about what Christ has done with us and what he does in us. That fourth dimension we talked about, being filled with the fullness of God. I know that worked on some of your minds. Me talking about fourth dimension, and I don't know anything about mathematics. But the fourth dimension people talk about some is it like in space, a spatial thing that's not so defined as the length and the width and the height. But, and maybe that's it. It's that space, it's that great. But this was just an illustration. An illustration that God has made us and given us something that is beyond all comprehension, but we receive it. Being filled with the fullness of God. And who could ever ask or think that? Who could ever think of that or ask that? That's what this is talking about. Don't get to thinking about, he can do more than you ever ask or think. Well, you know, he can probably get me out of this debt. Well, he might be able to help you out of that. I don't know. But he might tell you, well, you're going to have to quit making those mistakes. But what he's talking about here is so much more sublime than that. It's almost, it just sort of gives me chills to try to bring it to the common. Because it's something that is unknowable. There's nobody you can go and ask this about. You can't go to a professor in this earth. You can't get it from your colleges. You can't get it from your PhD. You can't get it from anywhere else. Because it's that fourth dimension that people don't even know about. They try to figure out what it is. It's us being filled with the fullness of God because we know the love of God that is unknowable. And it has filled us with something that is wonderful. All of it would be to no avail if it weren't for what happened when our Savior died and he rose again. What can happen in 3 days? I read this story. I hope it's true. It's written, not by me, but it's about something that happened on February the 27th, 1991. There was a private, Clayton Carpenter, private first class, that it was reported to his mother, Ruth, that her son had stepped on a landmine and he had died. And it explains how she was overwhelmed. She cried. She could not believe. She was distraught. Everything was lost for her. And it would take somebody who's been through that experience probably to understand that fully. 3 days later, and that's what makes this story apply today, she answers the phone, and it's her son. And he says, "Mother, I'm okay." I don't remember how it was a mix-up, but it wasn't him. And all of a sudden, all of the message that was within her that was negative turned to absolute joy. Well, I'll tell you who some people who could understand that. Of course, we have a lot of people in this country who could understand that because it's happened to them. Not that they've got the phone call, but they've got the news. But think about these apostles, how they had been with Jesus, and they saw him arrested, and they saw him beaten, and they saw what would happen to Christ when the force of the Roman Empire came down upon him. And they denied him, and they fled from him. I mean, he was there, he was dead, even though he had warned them and told them there was hope, they had lost all hope. Because he said, "I thirst." He who'd have living water didn't have water. And then he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" What report would that be to the apostles if they heard or heard that report. Why? What would that do to them to hear or have the report that the Savior said, my God, why have you forsaken me? They had left everything. They hadn't done what we've done in our religious experience. They left everything. And they followed Jesus every day. And they didn't get anything much for it at all. And there wasn't great profit for them at all. There was only persecution and troubles most of the time. And they probably heard the finish. The last thing he said was finished. Maybe they got the report that the Lord, into my thy hands I commend my spirit. Maybe they didn't. But they surely got the report that it said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And they were devastated. It was all over. And they were held up in a room. And they were sure that the authorities would get them next. How many discussions do you think as they wept and cried and discussed? Now, what are we going to do if we walk the streets? What are we going to do if they said, you were with me? Well, Peter said, well, you know, they told me that. I don't know. He said, I don't want to ever do that which I've already done. Because he had wept bitterly about it, but they trying to figure out, what are we going to do? He's gone. 3 days later, though, sun rises. Some women go to the tomb. They're talking about who's going to roll away that stone. And though there's light there, there's not darkness. The stone is rolled away. And an angel tells them, why are you here looking for the Christ? Why are you looking for the Christ among the dead? He's alive. And oh, have you ever heard Dolly Parton sing He's Alive? If you ever hear that, you just look it up. It'll send some chills up your spine. He's alive. He's alive. He's told you he was alive. Now, go. He will see you. What a difference that made. Darkness to light. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, just very quickly with me. If it wasn't for the resurrection, people, nobody would be here. How many people have said they were the Christ? Still people that would say that probably among Jews, I don't know. They're still looking for a Messiah. People have risen up all through the centuries that said, I'm the anointed one. I will lead everyone to the God of heaven or whatever God it might be. And all of them are dead and all of them are still in their tomb. And their bones are here. But not the Christ. Not the Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which were preached to you. For I delivered to you of first importance that, as I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And Peter saw it, verse 5. The 12 saw it. We've read that in the Gospels. He appeared to more, verse 6, more than 500 brethren at one time. And most of them are alive today. Ask them. He appeared to James. And he appeared to me. When I was trying to persecute Christians, he met me on that road to Damascus. And he appeared to me. In fact, he goes on down and he says in verse 13, now if there's no resurrection, we wouldn't be here. If there's no resurrection, we could go to the tomb and we could remove the body of Jesus. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is in vain. Your faith is in vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God because of the witness we've witnessed against God that he raised Christ, because we witnessed against God that he raised. We've lied to you. We haven't. Christ, who did not raise, in fact, the dead are not raised. If Christ isn't raised, then nobody will be raised. If Christ has not been raised, verse 17, your faith is worthless and you're still in your sins. And he said, you know, we're just a pitiful lot of people. That's not what he's teaching, though. He said Christ is raised. Light has been shown into your life. There's been a transformation of the cross and the tomb. That cross, you know, the cross was a rough piece of wood that was soaked in blood. That was something that nobody thought kindly of. It was a horrible death. It was for slaves and criminals. Roman citizens could not be, you had to be a slave. Roman citizen couldn't be crucified. It was too cruel. It was too shameful. Imagine me walking around with an electric chair on my necklace. It would be a shameful thought. But the cross and the resurrection brought such light into this world. When we think about the cross, it's the light that it's brought to this world. Now the cross is just something different. We think about the cross far different. Not like some piece of raw wood with some blood on it for the vilest of the world. When I see a cross, I think of my Savior. Isn't that what you think of? I can see a cross and I think of my Savior, that he died for me. It brings all kinds of peace and joy to my heart. It brings sorrow, but it brings gladness. It brings light. Boy, this transformed what a cross is about. It transformed what a tomb was about. You bury somebody, that's the end of it. You go on, it's over. No, you don't go on. He's arisen. Not only he, but many were raised that day and went into the city to show that the tomb won't hold us. A lot of things changed in 3 days. Life changed. Man, if you look at life, terrorism, as we become a global economy, we're becoming a global feuding, warring people too. Terrorism on every place. I don't even listen to the news much anymore. The only time I'll listen to the news now is when something is actually happening right now, and it might be an earthquake, it might be something else, it might be some kind of Amber Alert or something. But I know what's out there. I know what's there. It's darkness. And I know what's happening to people. They're being overcome by Satan and all of his plans. I got the biggest flashlight in the world. I don't need to sit and be immobilized because of darkness. You know, that immobilizes me. You ever be in somewhere and all of a sudden they turn out the lights and you see nothing? Boy, I stop. And I wonder if there's anything creepy around my feet, because I can't see it. Well, I couldn't think of anything better than somebody who came with a light and turned on the light in that dark room. That means a mission. I don't need to know all about the darkness. I just need to know the mission of carrying a light. But I got to be a light to carry a light. Oh, it changes the definition of life altogether. We have purpose. You know, people talk today, well, you know what, look at what the world's coming to. Friends, that's been going on forever, and the world was in a lot worse condition in the day of Christ than it is today. What happened when the light of light came? The light of life, what happened? Christians changed the world. Do you believe we could do that today? Do you believe there's power in the cross to change people today? Some of you, I'm not convinced or so sure about that. Because that lights up your life. That puts a smile on your face. That puts something that there's something that's going to change this world. And death is different. Life and death is different. I'll tell you how that gets different too. First of all, death, we don't weep as those who have no hope. Because of Christ, we have hope evermore to go to be with the Lord. But even in death, it changes everything. We've lost some precious people in the last year and few years. I remember Jack and I talking about so many things. He had so many interests in so many things. Those last few months of his life, wasn't much interest in those things. I'd try to bring up a discussion and, well, just sitting, didn't, I mean, you could even bring up the stock market. He didn't even, well, none of that stuff meant anything. When you really focus on life and that we came to this world with nothing and we'll carry nothing out, and God says, use our resources to shed the light, it changes your whole perspective of life. What more things do I need? What I need is the light of life. On Friday, discussions are dark and hopeless. Can't you see those apostles? They were just in a dark, dark place, and it was hopeless. But on Sunday, their discussions were filled with hope and righteousness. Let me tell you, brethren, that's what we need to fill our lives with. Discussions of hope and light and righteousness. That's the hope of the world. Whether you're in China, Russia, or the United States of America. On Friday, time is so limited. The Savior's about to go. And he's gone. But on Sunday, hope springs eternal. On Friday, life is filled with despair. But on Sunday, life is filled with purpose, direction, and hope. It's altogether different. On Friday, death is the end. On Sunday, it's just the beginning. Christ is in a better place. I want to ask you today, are you on Friday or are you on Sunday? Where are you? Where are you in your life at this moment? Are you stuck in Friday in the darkness? Are you on Sunday? He is not here. He is risen just as he said. And let the light shine. You're going to be, you know, somebody might ask, and I'll tell you something. If you're not a Christian, you're Friday. You're Friday. You better do something about it. The light of life has come so you could have life. If you're on Friday, you need to make sure that you know what you're doing, and you need to find out what the Lord wants you to do. And you might know today you need to believe and be baptized so you are the Son of God. The Son, S-O-N, would rise and shine in your life, and you'll be saved. You might be on Friday. You might have been like Judas or Peter, and you might be on Friday, and you might be so down because you've let this world overcome you. Your discussion no longer is on the sun. Your discussion no longer is about the greatness of the future of what we have in the light and the power to shine into this world to our neighbors and friends. But you're down in the dungeons of blackness of what's surrounding you instead of the power that's within you. If you're on Friday, you need to get to Sunday. You need to wake up in the Son of God and know that he's given us hope every day. Our days are not dark. Our days are lightened because we're filled with the Son of God. Do you know what that, do you remember what that passage in Ephesians said? That you may be filled with what? Can anybody pass that test? Huh? Come on, say it. Come on, I'm going to cry if somebody don't say it. All the fullness of God. Thank you. Don't forget that. Man, don't forget that. That's where the light comes from. And it's all because our Savior died for us. Friends, we might all, you might, your wick might be getting short. I want to tell you, there's plenty of oil. There's the oil of forgiveness that continually flows to the Lord. You just keep burning. It might be getting dim. Well, you know what you can do? Fan the flame. Put a little oxygen in there. Remember who you are and who's in you. Make your Savior's day of resurrection the day of your resurrection. Come from death to life today. If we can help you in any way in that decision, won't you come forward right now? Together we stand and sing this song.
I am resolved no longer.